My first guest in this edition is Ray Hederman, Assistant Director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We've asked him to offer some of his analysis as members of Congress push for a second economic stimulus package even before the change of presidential administrations. Is this a good idea? And if so, what should it include? And Ray, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get to the second economic stimulus package, what do we know about the impact the first one had?
Well, I think the first one had a very little impact. We here at Heritage were critical of the major component of the first stimulus package, which was the rebate check. Unfortunately, rebates simply don't work. We've tried rebates numerous times, including back in 2001, and as a consequence, we have good evidence that shows that rebates fail to stimulate the economy. People tend to save the rebate checks, or they might boost a little bit of consumption, but as a consequence, they can actually spend less in future quarters, so you don't really get the bump up that you're looking for. So I don't really think the first stimulus package was effective at all.
A big part of the second stimulus, if Democratic congressional leaders get their way anyway, would be assistance to the auto industry. Putting that to the side for a second, what are they calling for in terms of once again helping the average American?
Well, what they're looking at are kind of a whole range of options, anything from increasing the value of food stamps, extending unemployment insurance, good old plain government pork spending, you know, anything from infrastructure projects to finding out other specific projects they can spend money on. So it's just kind of the idea that the government will be willing to shovel cash out by the shovelful, and that will help stimulate the economy.
In terms of the impact that would have, first of all, what are your thoughts on that? And secondly, some are saying, look, they're basically redoing what FDR did during the Great Depression, which is basically suggesting they want to settle in for a 6 or 7 or longer year recession.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we can look back at some of the bad examples we learned from the 1930s and the Great Depression, and I'm a little worried that we're pursuing some of those bad examples. Let me just give you two quick examples of what I mean. The first is that we know that Herbert Hoover raised tax rates, especially on the top, and as a consequence, that drove up the cost of investment. It took productive money out of the economy. And we're seeing the same thing to do as President-elect Obama is saying that he may not postpone his tax increases. I think there's not a single school of economic thought that thinks he should raise taxes during a recession. I mean, we tried that again back in the 1930s, and that made the situation a lot worse. And then the second thing I think that also concerns me is that we have more than a whiff of protectionism in the air. And so we're getting some pressure from friends abroad saying, hey, you know, we need to back off some of this rhetoric that we're going to enact protectionist barriers, because what that does is it makes U.S. goods more expensive, and it makes imported goods more expensive, which really hurts the consumers. And again, you know, we saw what happened when we tried to protectionist policies in the 1930s. It did not work, and so I think, you know, the very first step the government should do is say, let's do no harm. Let's don't raise taxes. Let's don't end free trade, and let's try to have some nice, sensible policies to lay a framework going forward.
Ray, you mentioned free trade, and of course, Monday, President Bush hosted President-elect Obama, and there was discussion afterwards that the two talked about a second stimulus package, and that the President Bush stressed passing the Colombian Free Trade Agreement. There was some debate over whether or not there was a quid pro quo. Both sides say no. But in the end, how important would it be as part of this whole approach to the economy to pass that free trade agreement?
Well, I think that sends a great signal, not just to Colombia, obviously, but also to the rest of the world, that the United States is still going to be a leader in the world market. We're still going to be a free trade nation, and we're going to do what we can to open up foreign goods so that U.S. manufacturers, U.S. producers, can then get their goods in these foreign markets. And I think, you know, a bilateral trade agreement with like a country like Colombia was a great step in opening up foreign markets to the United States. You know, we can also take a look. There's also a free trade pending with South Korea. That's another example of how, you know, the administration, Congress can move forward, continuing free trade, which opens up the world economy to U.S. goods.
Ray, obviously in the past couple of months, we've seen the government take significant action to step in and save faltering financial corporations such as Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the insurance giant, AIG, and others. And of course, there are now those in Congress who say it's time for the government to step up and help out the beleaguered auto industry, which is losing money extremely fast. Do you believe government intervention there is a good idea? And if so, how should it be properly structured?
I don't think that's a good idea. I think there's a big difference between what's going on in the automotive industry and what's going on in the financial industry. Number one, the financial industry impacts not just Wall Street, but also Main Street. I mean, people who've seen their housing values go down, have seen how it's harder to get credit cards, it's harder to get credit overall, is impacted by the financial structure. I mean, the finance is the blood of the modern day economy, and so to allow the financial industry to fall into ruin, I think would return us back to the days of the Great Depression. And we all know that Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is one of the foremost students of the Great Depression. That's why we've seen some very vigorous policies to intervene the financial industry. On the other hand, while the automotive industry has been an important manufacturing sector, it doesn't have nearly the same importance as the finance. And also, part of the problem with the manufacturing sector is it has some structural problems. And what I mean by that is we know that some of the car companies have too much legacy debt in the forms of pensions, health cares. So they have very, very high labor costs, and they have terrible relationships with their unions. And so to a certain extent, the more money that we give to these car companies, all they're going to do is delay a little bit of their day of reckoning, because they're still going to face the same high wage pressures with the low quality cars, not developing cars to meet consumer demand. And so it's just kind of the government shoveling money, good money after bad, if you will. And so I think, if we do go down that route, if Congress does say, well, we're going to bail out the automotive industry, two things have got to happen. I think number one is they're going to have to ask for some concessions from the car companies and really restructure a little bit of the way they operate. And number two, I think what they're going to have to talk about is saying, okay, if you bail out the automotive industries, every other manufacturing industry, every other transportation industry is going to come to Congress asking for a bailout. And so, that's why I'm against bailing out the automotive industry, because it creates a terrible incentive for the government to get involved in bailing out every other industry that's affected by this economic downturn.
Ray, what specifics have been put forward by members looking to assist the auto industry? There are some who are concerned that it's really just, as you mentioned, throwing money at the problem, and in the end, it might be the unions who actually end up with a lot of this money.
Well, there hasn't been a great deal of specifics right now. I mean, we know that they're going to loan $25 billion to the automotive industry in return for the automotive industry to retool and try to make green vehicles, hybrid cars. That can strike somebody saying, we'll take a look at some of the car companies that have already produced hybrid vehicles. They didn't need this $25 billion, cash and by the government. That shows that you have a prudent company that made decisions driven by the marketplace. And so, I don't understand why the government has to, bail out the automotive industry from a bad decision at $25 billion. And then I think the other thing is that we do have kind of we don't have a lot of details on how they want to spend the other $25 billion that has been thrown up in the air as possible bailout money for the automotive industry. So I think that is a concern, that they'll just use this money to continue their poor practices.
We're talking with Ray Hederman of the Heritage Foundation. And Ray, we've talked about how the first stimulus package wasn't all that effective. We've talked about how settling in for the long term, trying to deal with the recession, sends the wrong signal, and that bailing out the auto industry might not be the right thing. What is the appropriate activity for Congress and the new administration to take moving forward here to make this as quick of an economic downturn as possible?
Sure. I think, any time you have a crisis like this, I think it's a good time to sit there and develop policy that's good, not just for the short run, but develop policies for the long run. And I think, there are about three or four different steps that the Congress and the new president can take. I already talked about some of the free trade agreements and the message that sends to the world. The other thing I could take a look at is going ahead and saying, let's make permanent some of the Bush tax cuts. Let's extend the tax depreciation for small businesses. And what that is say, a small business bought a new computer, they can write that off faster. And so what businesses want when they're looking forward to investment is they want kind of permanence, they want stability. And so, the sooner you make tax cuts permanent, businesses know what type of environment they'll be operating in, not just the next couple of months, but in the next couple of years. And that'll help speed up business investment. That'll help get more Americans working. That'll help them get them back on the job, return them and create new jobs. The other thing I'd like to see is one of the ideas, I think, from Senator McCain, which is lowering the U.S. Corporate income tax. As many people know, the U.S. has the second highest corporate income tax rate in the world, only behind Japan. And so I think lowering the corporate tax again gives businesses more money, helps them expand more quickly.
And Ray, obviously we've got a Democratic president coming in, a Democratic majority that's only going to get more lopsided. What's your expectations that any of those would be embraced warmly?
Well, I think Senator Obama has talked about extending a large part of the Bush tax cuts. He has talked about accelerating the tax depreciation for small businesses and making that permanent. And so I think that'll be a part of the agenda that they take up in the next couple of months. So I'd like to see that kind of accelerated and, you know, so kind of a guarantee to go ahead and get that stability that businesses want. And I think it seems less likely that we'd be looking at a corporate tax rate cut, or unfortunately maybe a little bit less likely that we'll be getting a free trade agreement.
Ray, unfortunately our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time and your insight.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Ray Hederman is Assistant Director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.